flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No, I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
It is Star Wars night at the Panthers game, and we are at the Amerant Bank Arena. Crowder just told me he is doing an appearance tonight in someone's suite at the Panthers game.
I know, Star Wars night. Am I Chewbacca?
I think you're Darth Maul. I don't even know what that means. We're at the Amerant Bank Arena. Our broadcast today from the Amerant Bank Arena is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drinks. Refresh your energy with zero sugar, essential vitamins, and proven ingredients. Panthers tonight, Heat tonight. We move closer to Super Bowl 59. Today is National Corn Chip Day, National Puzzles Day. Yeah, just lay it all out there for you, and we'll find something to glom onto by the time the show winds its way to 6 p.m. We're out here, Panthers and Kings tonight. The game tonight, I believe, is on 96.5 FM HD2. Tree has given me the thumbs up. The Heat game is on 560. The Hurricanes game is on 790 AM. And the Panthers tonight, 96.5 FM HD2.
How does Tree not even work here anymore, but he knows more than us?
I have seen Tree more since he retired than I saw him in the last 2 years prior to him being retired.
He's retired, and he knows the lineup. It's crazy.
Man knows his stuff. Anyway, we're out here. Today we'll have our regular cast of characters. Doug Plagans will be stopping by. Also today on the show, Zach Gelb. He joins us on Wednesdays. He's going to join us today. I want to talk a little Jimmy Butler with him, a little Super Bowl with him. Rob Pizzola is going to join us. I said, you want to come on? He's like, I don't have anything yet for the Super Bowl. And I said, well, give us a pick for the Panthers-Kings tonight, and then we'll just chop it up, and we'll annoy you for 20 minutes. And he's like, okay, I'm in.
I'm intrigued by what he does right now. Like, it's his job.
That's a good question.
Yeah, what are you doing right now? What are you betting on? What are you researching? I want to talk to Rob.
Well, he's going to join us today around 3:30. We have another chance for you today to win that pair of tickets to see Morgan Wallen with special guests Miranda Lambert, Brooks and Dunn, more at Hard Rock Stadium in July. So the code word today is rock.
Rock.
Rock. Text the word rock to 20357. That's 20357. You can get more info at WQAM.com. It's a text contest, so message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive. But if you want to win those tickets, and it's a great prize, text the word rock to 20357. Let's begin today so we have enough time with Gelby and everybody else. Let's begin with headlines and Alejandro Solana. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
You mentioned it. The Heat play tonight. The Panthers play tonight. And Canes hoops all in action. No Darius Garland for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been balling as of late.
Did you go out to the arena this morning? Did you go to shoot around and stuff?
I was not at shoot around this morning.
Mm. You've been doing that during home games. What happened?
Yeah, I was on my way, but I had to attend to a family matter, so I had to turn around. So I didn't make it out there today. And I was supposed to talk with Tyler Hero. Tomorrow we find out if I think it's tomorrow or Friday. We find out if Tyler Hero is going to end up being an All-Star reserve. So,
and he should be. He should be. First of all, the Heat should have representation, first of all. They're too good a franchise not to have representation.
Oh, okay.
So when you have a player who's balling enough, like Tyler, I'm not saying just put anyone out there, but when you have a player who's balling like Tyler Hero is, the Heat should have representation. So I'm down with that.
I'm with you on that. I'm more concerned. Solana, what was the family matter? Was it flat meat?
Hey, don't worry, Crowder. I'm very much looking forward to your next TikTok where you tell us all about grills. Can't wait.
Man, what podcast were you on? Every black person I know has sent me the clip of you. Apparently, I'm not on this thread. But Crowder went on some food or grilling or soul food podcast. I'm not kidding you. Every black person I know has sent me you. I think they just ripped your video from your own thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't know what goes on social media. But, yeah, I make an impact in the community.
You do make an impact in the community.
Yeah, you're doing reaction videos now, huh? That's good.
Is he doing reaction videos now?
Yeah, they were trying to sell me these damn gas grills and all these little goofy grills. Yeah, if it's not charcoal, it's not barbecuing.
I have a gas grill.
Interesting.
Well, you're a bitch.
But see, this is why I found it so funny, Hawk, because Crowder's like, oh, pellet grill. Oh, you got a Mercedes out in the driveway. You're rich. Like, bro, you're an NFL player. You have the Mercedes out in the driveway.
I know.
He does that all the time, though. He talks about, you're pretty. In the meantime, he's the one in the gated community and the kid's at private school. My kid went to public school, and it was all hell breaks loose in my neighborhood. No guard gate to stop anyone.
It was funny because when I came to your house that one time, I rode right up to the door. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I can afford a pellet grill and a gas grill, but that's not the best barbecue. I want to make the best barbecue, and that's going to be lump charcoal. That's what makes barbecue. That's what makes a barbecue a barbecue.
And, you know, every single person could just go back into your page and watch you teaching people how to grill, and it's just you dousing coals with lighter fluid, which is literally the way you should grill.
They were coals, though. Weren't they coals?
Yeah.
He likes his coals hot.
I like my coals hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
What was the family emergency, though?
I don't want to get into that. Like, I had to attend to something. Why is that funny?
Because it was like the dog got loose.
First of all, I didn't say it was a family emergency. I said I had a family matter I had to attend to. Mm. And that's it. Like, there was no emergency. I mean, there was something I had to do, and it took precedent and priority over anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around.
Which part of the family? Valentina or your parents?
What, like, why, which, like, I don't want to talk about this over
which
the
Which facet?
You needed strawberries for the parfait.
See, any other show, like, somebody would just be like, hey, I had a family matter to attend to, it, and everybody would just shut up and move on. But you two.
Yeah, but any other show, the person would know not to say I had a family matter to attend to.
Thank you.
Right, but it's so perfect that I've gone to every shoot around for the past 2 months.
Oh, that's why I asked. I thought you were going to give us some insight because you've been going to all them and you've been posting video and stuff. So I just was. This is very much like your interview with Jaime Jaquez Jr. I thought I was launching up something that furthers your career and narrative.
Yeah. It's so perfect.
And if it was me, by the way, or old you. Oh, yeah, I was out there. Nothing much going on, but good game tonight. Tip off at 7:30. Hey. I wouldn't have known, obviously.
No blueberries in the yogurt.
Alex, come over immediately. Those pastelitos you love, they finally had them at Vicky Bakery, and your dad got some.
On the way, Mommy. What's that commercial?
Go open your door, Mommy.
You're here.
I heard it today, man. It's art. Argentina, Chile. What are you coming to Colombia?
That's funny.
The Heat play tonight. Darius Garland Jr. is out for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been balling. And as I mentioned before we got into the foolishness, Tyler Hero is going to find out tomorrow or Friday whether or not he's going to be an All-Star. But tonight, 7:30 p.m., the Heat are represented at All-Star Weekend. Kalel Ware is not going to the Rising Stars Challenge game, but Jaime Jaquez Jr. has been selected as a sophomore to the Rising Stars game.
All right.
Panthers tonight versus the LA Kings. Canes Hoops has Virginia. They haven't won a game yet in conference play, so they're trying to accomplish
that. Now, is that good? What does that mean?
They haven't won in no ACC game.
So what does that mean in the grand scheme of things?
Solana?
I don't know, Crowder, your team almost went winless in 2008. So if anybody is an expert on this matter, it's you.
2007, Duck. 2008, we're 11-5, baby. That's your bad. We were bad.
That was, radio-wise, a fun year, man.
I bet y'all would lighten me up.
Oh, my God. That was one of the most fun years of radio in history, in South Florida history. You're one.
You sitting right by me.
Because I'm thinking about it. It's so vivid. We were talking before the show about having memories, like how far back your memories go and vivid memories. I have such vivid memories of that 1-15 season, man. That, like, you can't create radio content that good.
I I've told him if I did not want to leave the house.
Yeah.
It's my only time in my athletic, honestly, my life, any time. I did not want to leave
because I bet you felt like people were looking, even if they didn't know who you were. I bet you felt like everyone's looking at you,
yes,
and for all the wrong reasons. Everyone your entire life has looked at you for all the right reasons,
mm-hmm,
and now they're looking at you with like a mix of pity and disdain.
Oh,
like it's both those.
You say the pity, anger. 0-4, 0-3, 0-4 was anger.
Right.
Like, damn, bro, win a game.
Get
damn,
it together.
Trying. Like, when we were at 0-10, 0-11,
pity.
People were whispering to me at bars, hey, man, you know, things going to get better. Just, you know, keep grinding, tell the boys to keep. I'm like, listen, leave me alone. I'm just here to eat some wings. I'm watching a basketball game. Like, and when they started pitying me, that's when I was like, I don't want to leave the house anymore. All I did was go to Eden.
It was like when we had the simulcast, we were on 560 and 790, and then all of a sudden we were only on 560. And people, you know, hey, man, you had the two stations, huh? Now you're on one. Yeah, no, I'm fine. Like, we were only meant to be on one. That was, but like, yeah, you get that pity. And it was like, well, wait, no, it's just, it's no big deal.
I hate pity. I really hate pity.
Pity's the worst. I don't want to be
pitied. More than anger, yeah, more than anything else.
Nobody wants to be pitied.
No. Hey, yeah, everything will be okay, Crowder. No, man, listen.
Everything is okay.
It's fine. Like, yeah, we lost a couple games.
I love being pitied. In fact, it's what I want. I just want to be pitied all the time.
Right.
Yeah, just so you guys know.
All right, fair enough.
Call mommy.
By the way, I think I've told you guys this, but I was digging through like old QAM archives still that weren't wiped away in our computers. I found audio from 2007 training camp of Crowder being asked about the team going into the 1-15 year. And Crowder didn't shy away from reporters, didn't shy away from whoever the QAM reporter was. I mean, we have to play some of that stuff, maybe during the summer when we have time. Crowder,
it was going into the 1-15 season?
Going into the 1-15 season, the way Crowder was talking about the defense, the way Crowder was talking about, who was it, Joey Harrington as the quarterback, whoever the hell it was.
But like, it wasn't Harrington at the
it
beginning.
Was,
it was Culpepper. Yeah. Yeah.
Culpepper, yeah. I mean, the way you propped up that team going into the season, like everybody does before going into the year, but I think it just makes it.
Well,
even
there's
funnier.
No way he had any idea. First of all, Dante Culpepper
was
like
a monster.
I don't even know if you remember Solana because you were much younger.
Was that Culpepper though going into
Solana,
the 1-15?
Yeah,
for
do
sure.
You remember?
Because he got benched, right?
Do you understand what Culpepper was leaving Minnesota? I know he tore his knee up,
but like wasn't Culpepper under Saban his last year? I thought 1-15
was
Cleo Lemon.
That was 6, and then Saban leaves, and it's 7. But I'm still talking positive because we still have dogs on the team.
Was it? So we're sure
it was
Culpepper?
It was 7.
Started
no.
that season?
It wasn't Culpepper. Like Solana says it. That was the Cam Cameron year, and I knew Cam Cameron.
So
was
who
an
was
idiot.
The starting quarterback?
I don't even know.
Yeah, it was Cleo Lemon who started 9 games. Trent Green started 5
games.
Who
started opening game, though?
Trent was the guy, but that's the story when he came out and had 2 knee braces on and both elbow sleeves.
Right.
And I was like, bro.
Like, wait a second. You look like Frankenstein.
Why do you need this much protection? How old are you? He was like 57 at the time.
John
and
Beck.
And, yeah, Trent started. And the Travis Johnson, the tackle from Houston, it was one of the only times in my career that I was scared for another human
knocked
being.
Trent Green out.
He knocked Trent Green to sleep.
But was he the opening day starter?
Trent Green was
the guy.
Yeah.
For that
Trent
season.
Was the guy. Trent was the guy that season. And then it went through Cleo and Tyler Thigpen and a bunch of other
John
people.
Beck. John Beck started after Trent Green, and then Cleo Lemon ended the season.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Slim pickings.
John Beck was bad.
John Beck.
He's coaching up Tua.
I just saw him. I saw him recently. He'll be at the Pro Bowl. I'm going to go to Orlando tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. And he'll be up there.
Where's the Pro Bowl? Orlando?
Orlando this year.
John Beck started 4 games. He threw 1 touchdown pass.
John Beck was so scary.
He reminded me a lot of Tate Martell, now that I think about it.
He reminded me of, I don't know,
Darth Maul.
The bathroom guy at Exxon. We knew we weren't going to win with John Beck.
Bro, the defense was low-key. Like, you guys had...
We could ball!
You guys had ballers on that. Like, Will Allen, Samson Satelli.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember Samson Satelli. He was good.
No, Samson was the center. That was Paul Solei.
Oh, Paul Solei.
We had the big nose. We had Starks. We had, oh, yeah. Langford.
Oh, Kendall Langford was
bro,
good.
Bro, we had some dogs. I don't know if YB was still there. We had some monsters defensively. We could have been a top five defense, but we were on the field for probably 70 minutes a game because they couldn't get any further.
Was that season, not to relitigate the 07 Dolphins season right now, was that season more Cam Cameron's fault or lack of having a quarterback fault?
Cam Cameron.
Really?
He didn't. I told you. We played the Commanders, was their name now. The first or second, it was the first game of the season. I know it was the first road game. And this is when because during camp, I've told the story. Like, Joey, that's when Peasy was here. So, me and Joey Porter sitting in the defensive meeting room or the team meeting room. We always sit next to each other. And Porter, coming from Pittsburgh, saw Mike Tomlin. So, he's sitting back there, and Cam's talking, and he throws his keys against the wall to prove a point, but he doesn't cuss, so he yells, son of a big buck. And he's doing this stuff, and I'm just like, it's my third year. I'm kind of like, oh, I got a new coach. This
and
is my
Joey
second
Porter
coach.
Can't believe what he's watching.
And Joey is jaw-dropped. Like,
but that's probably what Vic Fangio thought when he watched Mike McDaniel comport himself around the Dolphins, you know, where he's like, wait a second, I've been around football a long time, and you're giving away wedding cakes. Like,
gotta get out of here.
Somebody get Philadelphia on the phone.
Listen, son of a big buck, man, I need to go. And so, like, Joey's so upset by it, and he calls him out and all. And then we get down, you know, we play through the season, play through camp, I'm sorry. And then that Commanders game, we're in Washington, and I've told the story 100 times. We go to overtime. Clinton Portis is there, the white tight end. He was Cooley. I remember I had to cover all those guys. And we
– oh, in Washington.
Cooley, the pretty Chris white Cooley. Boy. Yeah. Chris Cooley, yeah. And Clinton Portis is still there, and we're playing them, and they're a good team. And we're playing them, and we go to overtime, and we win the toss, and we get the ball, and we go three and out, don't get a yard. They punt it to the other team. They drive down and kick a field goal, no problem. We're all like, man, we suck. Like, the team is walking in. We're like, man, we went to overtime – didn't do anything on offense, and then got drug on defense in overtime. Like, we're walking in. Cam walks in smiling. Fellas, from the outside looking in, that was a heck of a game.
I remember you told that story before.
I'm like, from the out. That's when it hit
right.
me. Like, from the outside looking
aren't
in.
Aren't you on the inside? Like, you're the head coach.
You're the head coach of this team.
How
what
can you be on the outside looking in?
What are you talking about? Give the ball to Shannon. Like, I just, bro, like that, in the visiting locker room in Washington, that's when it clicked to me that this is not a man that needs to lead men. Yeah. And as you've seen, that was 20 plus years ago. Nobody's gave Cam Cameron another shot at being the head coach or even being a coach.
Yeah.
That's when it clicked to me that there are certain people that need to lead men, and Cam wasn't one of them. So whoever made that decision was a terrible decision.
Certain things you just don't come back from, you know, slur playing video games.
Myers Leonard.
That didn't come back from that. Going 1-15 as a head coach, you don't come back from that.
Well, I think people have before. Who's the dude? Your friend.
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, your friend, Hugh Jackson.
But Hugh knows how to talk to people.
All right.
Hugh is like, if you ever meet Hugh, you love him. Hugh is a charismatic dude. Cam Cameron was a airhead.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say. Like, I was around him. I've sat in meetings with him. I'm like, oh, you're an airhead. I met you in college. It was at a sorority house.
Some people, you know, they pray to God. I pray to Greg Camarillo.
That was the season, man. Talk about content. Holy mackerel. Even that game provided endless content.
We talked about this. Yeah. Greg's a sports guy or new or weatherman in San Diego.
He is?
He's a sportscaster, Hawk. He keeps doing this where he calls Greg Camarillo a weatherman. I don't know why. He's a sportscaster.
So he's like Joe Rose. Joe Rose became a sportscaster after his Dolphins career.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Vi Sicahema in Philly.
And he's married to a black woman.
Greg Camarillo?
Yep.
Man. Thanks, Jeff.
Man.
Losing them all.
Yes. His wife's actually a great, great person. I enjoy it.
So what was the family matter? I have a personality problem. All right, anything else, Solana? Because I want to make sure we have time for Gelby.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7.
You think you'll tell us by 6?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Do some research.
You think you'll be able to concoct some fakakta story by 6?
The truth is, I had a date in the sauna. You got me.
In the sauna, lost track of time. Who hasn't done it?
It's a nice day.
He texted Tommy Tighe. You okay at shoot around? Because I got a good Schmitz working here.
Schmitz.
Some more water on those rocks, big man.
By the way, guys, I need a week off. I'm going to Greece.
Hey, Valentino, I'm going to slide out for a little bit. I got
you remember
here.
That guy I met at Zeus? Well, I'm head to Athens.
I want to slide out. I need a couple hours.
Oh, Alex, that's so nice. You got me one of the new Vice jerseys. No, that's for Zeus.
Uh-oh.
All right, Zach Gelb, did you do weather?
I don't know, whatever.
Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network is going to join us in the next segment. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You, Brooks Koepka!
Hawk and Crowder.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We are at the Amerant Bank Arena. A little Panthers hockey tonight. A lot of action tonight. You got Heat tonight. You got Panthers tonight. You got Hurricanes basketball tonight. There's an incredible contest going on. The Slam Dunk in Vegas. Travel and accommodations for one winner and 3 guests to Vegas. Plus $20,000. Which covers at least the resort fees, maybe more. Easy to enter. Download the free Odyssey app. Hopefully you have done so already. If you haven't, download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Log in or register for an account, and then you listen to 560 WQAM or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your entry, and you can do it every day. It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas. Great prize, and it's a chance for you to win. You just got to listen to 560 WQAM on the free Odyssey app. Travel dates are March 17th through the 22nd, which I believe coincides with a tournament you may have heard of. It is a national contest. So good luck to you. Speaking of Odyssey, our friend Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He hosts afternoons nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. He comes to us each week from the WFAN studios in New York City. Hello, Gelby.
$20,000. You know, I know Channing could get a little frugal, but I would imagine back in the day, Channing Crowder in a nice gentleman's club threw $20,000 up in the air, would imagine, right?
Oh, a couple hours. He's back at the ATM. He'd go through that in a couple hours.
I've never thrown 20.
How'd you throw them?
I think I might have spent $10,000 in a night before.
You had, just knowing you, you had to have been filled with regret the next day.
Oh, my goodness gracious. When I started getting, because they have the email, I had the email, this is how frugal I am. I have emails set up when I withdraw money, and I actually had to call the bank to tell them to open the credit line back up.
It's not fraud.
And when I woke up in the morning, the Hennessy wore off, and I was like, how much money did I withdraw last night? I had a great time. I had to talk to my counterparts in the room with me. But, yeah, never 20, Gelby, never 20.
I think James Harden, there's a story that he once spent $1 million in a night at a strip club, I think in Houston, and then they raised his jersey in the rafters of the strip club. $1 million, though, in a night. That's some life.
You know what's funny? I got to Miami in 05, so the cool strip clubs – but this is right when the Heat took off. So UD and Wade and all the guys were there. So the Heat had the club on lock, and the football players are kind of – we are in the lesser corners. So that was a great –
Heat guys would walk in.
I think the Heat guys made me save a lot of money because I can't compete with basketball money. I was making 200 grand a year. I can't do that. What you're doing right now, you're making $6 million.
That's Channing as how he's spending it all these years later, you know, now married and everything. That's what he's just going to say.
Gelby's throwing it around in the club.
Gelby's big
he's
man.
He's a baller. Speaking of the Heat, Gelby, you've written Jimmy Butler's agent on the bottom of your graphic there. Do you like the way the Heat have handled the Jimmy Butler situation? I love it. Do you look at the division between the Heat and Jimmy Butler and say to yourself, there is an absolute right side and there's an absolute wrong side, and here's who's on each of those sides, or is it gray to you?
I think Jimmy Butler makes it insufferable, if we're just going to be honest here, because, you know, he's saying he can't provide for his family, and like it's as if Miami is an undesirable destination. Baloney. You make enough money a year. You just want a new deal, and the Heat aren't giving you that new deal. And I think it'd be bad for the Heat business to give Jimmy Butler that new deal. I said this in the offseason. The Heat needed to trade Jimmy Butler then because the championship window where they got to two finals with Jimmy Butler was over and done with, and it was time to start the new era of the Miami Heat. So I understand both sides, but I'm more anti-Jimmy Butler here than Miami Heat.
To that conversation, are there teams right now? Because I know Phoenix is the name. You know, other names are popping up. Is it a team that's one Jimmy Butler away from winning a championship? I've been critical of Jimmy. I say he's not a one. He fills the stat sheet, but he's not a prolific scorer. Is there a team out there that's one Jimmy Butler away from changing their season?
Three teams come to mind. I don't think he'd win a championship with the Suns, but it would at least be intriguing to see Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Jimmy Butler. I read today that Mark Stein was throwing out the Milwaukee Bucks. Maybe you just get a deal done with the Bucks and also the Miami Heat. If you put Jimmy Butler as the third piece behind Dame and Giannis, that is intriguing. I think the Orlando Magic would be fun because they have a young roster, but those are kind of the three teams that, you know, if you want to move the needle for me personally, those would be the three that would be of interest.
It's hard to reflect right now for, I think, us in South Florida on how memorable and how successful the Jimmy Butler era is going to end up being, despite the ugly exit, Gelb. Nationally, that's how it's perceived as well, right? Jimmy came to Miami. Nobody expected them to be legitimate contenders. Nobody expected Jimmy Butler to be viewed as the guy he became in Miami wearing a Heat jersey.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Butler really moves the needle nationally until, right, he gets to the finals. Like, if we did a top 10 player list in the NBA today, people wouldn't put Jimmy Butler in the top 10. But when he made the finals, that was everyone's take. Oh, he's a top 10 player. You know, he's perfect for Heat culture. So I think it's really in the moment where nationally we appreciated it while it was happening. But since it didn't result in a championship victory, I don't think people are going to be looking back 5 years from now and go, man, Jimmy Butler was something that was very memorable in Miami, even though it did provide two really fun runs that a lot of people didn't see coming.
Well, play this out for me for a second, because you said you put Jimmy Butler on the Suns team with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and I still don't think they're a championship team, which would mean that you don't think they're a championship team, period, because yeah. Jimmy Butler added to the Suns is what then?
So I just wonder how it would mesh in terms of chemistry. Like, say what you want about Jimmy. It doesn't look good to say this now, but he's a pain in the ass. He is a hard worker, and he's like always at 100. You know, how many times have we seen kind of these Kevin Durant teams since, you know, leaving Golden State or even when he's at Golden State have some drama? Even though Jimmy is creating the drama right now in Miami, like, Jimmy wanted no part of dealing with Ben Simmons being 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So I just wonder from a chemistry fit how it would gel in Phoenix would be my biggest concern.
And, Gelby, another conversation I've heard, I think Stephen A. and Shannon were talking about it, and it kind of, you know, I listened to him. I was like, damn, I never thought about that. I think it's wrong. Like a De'Aaron Fox, one of these young players. This is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I can't say this damn boy's name. He has too many letters. But, like,
just say SGA.
Okay, yeah. SGA. But, like, those young guys, with how they've seen them deal with Jimmy, with how we know LeBron's exit went, with how we know Dwayne Wade going to Chicago went, do you think the Pat Riley is – the Pat Riley approach, I guess, is that – would that turn off this new-age athlete? Because Jimmy's older, but I do think he's a new-age athlete. Do you think the Pat Riley, my way or the highway, mafia, godfather stuff, do you think that's getting a little played out?
It's not for everyone, but do I think Jimmy Butler has the cachet and aura as a big, big, big name in the NBA? Like, if this was happening to a Durant – or LeBron, I think it's a different reaction. Like, Jimmy Butler is very, 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 very good. I don't think he has that greatness kind of persona and aura where players are like, oh my God, Jimmy Butler is getting screwed. It could rub some people the wrong way, but ultimately, if I'm 25, 26, and I want to get traded, and Miami's a destination, why wouldn't I? Like, who cares who's running the team? Why wouldn't I want to go enjoy South Florida?
Actually, that's a really good point by Gelb that I hadn't really thought of. The way the Heat are handling Jimmy Butler is probably a little bit of a statement on where they think he is in the echelon of ultra mega NBA stars.
Been saying that yeah. since he got here, huh?
Yeah. But this is a little insight into what they think as well. And that's an astute point, because I really hadn't thought about that. You're right. They may not be dealing that same way if it's James Harden, not now, but Kevin Durant or Giannis or someone of that ilk.
And I know in the NBA it's more drama, and trust me, there could be drama in the NFL. But, like, if this was an NFL player, we'd all be like, all right, he's in his mid-30s. The window's shut. It's time to move on. You'd be crazy to give him this crazy big multi-million dollar contract, and then you're going to get tied down to him. But in the NBA, it's amazing, like, how these contracts just keep on coming and coming and coming and coming. And I don't fault the Heat for saying, no, Jimmy, like, you haven't been available. Like, you are in a top 10 player in the league. You know, like, we can get a deal done, but we're not going to bend over backwards where this is a thing that we regret within a year.
But I think you are seeing that, though, from teams where they're saying, yeah, we don't value Jimmy Butler the way he feels he needs to be paid either. Because yeah. if they did, if there were multiple teams around the league saying, you know what, we are a Jimmy Butler away. You know what, we would value Jimmy for 2 years at $120 million this upcoming offseason the way he feels he deserves to be paid, then there'd be a list of teams right now actively trying to trade for Jimmy Butler. And
but if there is that one team, Solana, which is Phoenix, Jimmy can rest on that, right? No. There is a team out there that wants to give me 2 years, 120, or three yeah. years, 120. Like, yeah, there is that market.
But also, I don't think he'll get the contract right away. Like, that would be something that would happen in the offseason. So you could be a team that could say, okay, I will trade for Jimmy Butler, and it's not going to cost me that much. You know, I know you got to match salaries and things like that, and you get the deal done, and then a year from now, that relationship's over. Or you could trade him, and if you don't have, like, a one, like, I wouldn't necessarily make this move because you're not close to winning a championship, but maybe you say, okay, you give him a 2-3-year deal and kind of build around him, even though I don't think you win a championship with Jimmy Butler as your one. The only place I think you can win a championship with Jimmy Butler as your one is really Miami.
No, they can't win because they didn't win a championship.
They were close, though. They were
close.
They were in the finals twice.
Throwing horseshoes.
Well, I'm just saying, they were in the finals twice. They were in the finals twice. Come on. They gave it the best shot with him at the one that anyone else could have.
That's the only place he would have been close to winning a championship with being a one, would be probably there in Miami. I don't think that this would be the case. And I know him and Thibodeau had a funky exit when he was in Minnesota, but, like, you know, also the Knicks, just because of the way that you look at the way that both those organizations really want that dog and that guy that, you know, is a hard worker, which is ironic now because he's not showing up for work.
Let me segue over to the NFL real quick before we run out of time here. The Super Bowl, what do you make of the matchup? Philly and KC, I've been clear to Crowder and Solana this week. I'm on KC. My brother is leaving for Vegas tomorrow, and he texted me this morning. He's like, you have a feel? And I'm like, I think I'm betting the house on KC because I'm not betting against Michael Jordan anymore. Not that I bet against him a lot, but I'm not betting against Michael Jordan, and Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan.
Last week I had Matt Collins anytime touchdown, which I love at plus 600. I am going with Dallas Goedert, and you also have plus money still with Travis Kelce. So I'm parlaying the tight ends, taking them individually to get into the end zone for both these teams. I'm leaning Philadelphia right now. And, you know, can I make the case for Kansas City? Absolutely. I think Philadelphia is the better overall team. But when you have the boogeyman on the other sideline with Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Travis Kelce, and
how
Chris
do you
Jones,
bet? How can you bet? How can you look at yourself in the mirror on Monday when Kansas City obviously wins this game and say to yourself, wait a second, why did I bet against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Spagnuolo and down the list?
Here's why. Tom Brady's lost in Super Bowls. Mahomes even lost a Super Bowl to Tom Brady. And this Philadelphia Eagles team is a better, well-rounded team. Now, I'm not telling you I'm definitely picking the Eagles right now, but that's where I lean when you ask me a week and a half out from the game. I do lean Philadelphia because that defense has been the best part for Kansas City, which is what makes them so good because you're the best player in the league in Mahomes, and that's not even their best unit. But if you even contain Saquon, like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, this line just all being healthy, it's a lot. The encouraging part, though, with the Chiefs is their offense finally got going last week. Like, they scored in the 30s to go win. If this gets a high-scoring affair, obviously Mahomes could do it, but I think it favors the Eagles.
Gelby, I don't even have a question mark at the end of the statement, so I don't know what you're going to say because it's not a question. But that last series of the Super Bowl – when the fourth quarter, when they had to get a first down and Andy Reid runs those crazy pick routes and all that stuff underneath to get the running back Pierce wide open, and then when Spags sent a cornerback blitz on fourth down that Buffalo didn't know was coming and had nobody to block him, I'm with you. I think Philly's more talented, but I think that the coaching staff of the Kansas City Chiefs is superior to anybody else they could play, including Philadelphia.
Think about it. You have a Hall of Fame head coach, and if they put coordinators in the Hall of Fame, which they should put assistants, Steve Spagnuolo is arguably the greatest big game defensive coordinator we've ever seen. Won a Super Bowl with the Giants, now has won three with Kansas City, and I talked to Mahomes last year after the AFC Championship game, and he said to me, I was basically a game manager in that AFC Championship game because we know what we have on the other side of the ball defensively. But also, I would agree, obviously, the Chiefs had the coaching advantage. This is Sirianni's Ryan Day moment. That's what it needs to be because a lot of people are out on him. Then Ryan Day, you know, restored confidence when that championship. Same could be said with Sirianni with things that happened last year. But Vic Fangio, this is a big game for him, too, to cement himself in the annals of NFL history because he's done a really good job on that defensive side of the ball for the Eagles this year.
Zach Gelb. Are you going to be
those
in New
Miami
Orleans?
Miami Dolphins players, by the way. A little salt that they couldn't deal with Vic Fangio.
I say he was sending us quite the message, right, after he goes to the Super Bowl with, I was there for a season. I think I want to be somewhere else. He was sending us a message, I think, about Mike McDaniel and what he thought as an old-school football guy about the way the Dolphins operate.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that's a lack of accountability problem. With the Dolphins is what
are you going to New Orleans next week?
Yeah, Channing hit me up. He said he's bringing $20,000 and we're going out and having a fun night in the town.
Hey, Gil, age is coming too, so we got to sneak out.
So you're going to make it rain at Drago's in oysters?
Hey, yeah. We can throw some oysters up, Gilby.
Why did you have to go to the other fish there, Hockman? We're just talking about oysters and po'boys and jambalaya.
I was thinking something else. My bad. So are you doing your show out there? When are you going to be out in New Orleans?
So I leave Sunday, and I believe I'm going to the game and then come back Monday night.
Wow. Oh, so you're not doing Radio Row?
Oh, I am. No. I'm going like this.
He's on Monday to Monday.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be on Radio Row on Monday. That's a sad place to be on a Monday. I love Radio Row, by the way. I wish we were going, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That Monday, you start to question everything about your life.
Yeah. Mondays and Tuesdays. Like if they just told me you could go in Wednesday morning, I'd be good. Yeah. But the bosses tell me what to do, and I just listen, you know?
I was telling them the other day when I went to Phoenix. It was 10 years ago. The Monday out there, I believe we interviewed Drew Stanton and the actual Arizona Cardinal mascot, just a guy in a Cardinal suit.
And he can't talk.
I'll never forget when Sid was down there in New Orleans, they actually ran, like there was this guy that worked in the convention center. He was a worker that crapped his pants. And then they made like a whole bit about it all throughout the week. Mark Eisenberg was like all over getting this guy to crack his pants.
Their wheelhouse. That is 100% their wheelhouse. That is 100%.
Luckily, Channing, luckily there was no punches thrown on that trip.
Gelb, I had the punch situation, and then I had to chase Sid around the back room and bathrooms and kitchens because he was looking for something that wasn't sold on the menu.
Yeah.
I'll throw $20,000 in the air. Real spectacular. My dear
friend. This is for all of my good friends. All of my good friends.
You know, she's my dear friend Roxy. She does a great job. She gives you a great lap dance.
We'll see you, Gelby.
You got it.
There you go. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Arriba, pa' bajo, pa' centro, pa' entro.
Arriba, banana, Rodrigo, arepa.
Hawk and Crowder.